Hi, everyone, and welcome to Food. I'm Kate Bittman. Happy to be here. As always, please remember that if you have questions or feedback, you can email us at food@markbittman.com. We're also online at bittmanproject.com. We're super proud of our new site. It has food writing that's fun and useful, and a real recipe database with more than 500 recipes, soon to be in the thousands. Last week, Erica Houle, a new contributor, developed some delicious dishes for us, which are all just as good at room temp. Mark wrote at length about his extensive international trip. He was then in Hong Kong and Taiwan, and he's now in Japan, which you'll read about soon. And Carrie explained one of the best ways to use chickpeas. Find it all on bittmanproject.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Today, Mark and I talked to Allison Robicelli, who has been on the food scene for years. She started out cooking in New York and now has evolved into a non-alcoholic beverage columnist for the Washington Post. Allison's is a unique journey, to be sure, and she told us about so much of it, from the time when she was 13 years old and got blackout drunk for the first time, to her deep delve into the history of alcohol, to her thoughts on AA. She's aggressively sober, but not preachy about it at all. She talks super intelligently about drinking issues, and we think she is way ahead of the curve on the new sobriety, or the new semi-sobriety. This is a topic more and more people are thinking about, and Allison very often nails it. Plus, she's funny as hell. Let us know what you think.
Allison, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. I'm very happy to be here.
I am a Washington Post subscriber, of course, and when I started to see your column, I just thought, what a great idea. I have lots of thoughts about this. We won't get to them all because we want to talk about you. But I have been thinking for many, many years that the sort of merging of food and wine or food and alcohol is just kind of an excuse to drink, which is fine. I mean, if people want to drink, it's fine. But that there's really this sort of you know how if you watch 50s movies, everybody's smoking. Well, if you watch anything now, everybody's drinking. So there is this kind of like huge social pressure or presence of alcohol. And you could see it building to a place where people wanted prohibition. I know nothing about prohibition, but Americans in the 19th and early 20th centuries drank a lot, and they drank for calories. I mean, because it was a convenient way. Beer, this is a history of agriculture in the world and stuff, but beer, and in the States, it was corn liquor a lot. But
I'm a history nut too, Mark. If you want to go off on this, I will bore you to death.
I won't be bored, but maybe listeners would. But there is just this like societal norm of drinking. It's not pressure, but it's just always there everywhere. And so people who decide they want to drink less or not drink at all have to grapple with that. Somehow in you, this wound up becoming a column, and we're curious about that history.
So the first time I ever got blackout drunk, I was 13 years old, and I'm 43 now. So for 30 something years, I've noticed this. And what's interesting about you saying it, it's like, it's not something that just happened now. If you've ever struggled with alcohol, you've noticed this has just been always the norm. It's always been the norm. And I mean, even to a point where like, we think it's a joke. We think it's funny. Like think of the Thin Man, and it's like, oh, look at him. They're wasted.
Man, that movie is like a movie about drinking.
It is. It is. But that was the charm of Nick and Nora. I've been binge watching Cheers late at night because it takes me back to a simpler time when the world wasn't on fire. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, you know, this was normal. Like, you know, Norm didn't have a job and he just drank beer all the time. And it was laughs. This has always, always been our default. And the reason why is that it just makes a ton of money. It makes a ton of money. I recently was doing something for the Post where I was looking at the history of women in alcohol and what the deal was. And women were the first ones to brew beer. The first people who ever brew beer were the Mesopotamians. And it was underneath a goddess of brewing. It was seen as socially unacceptable for men to have anything to do with the brewing process whatsoever. And that was the case for centuries, literally centuries, because it was domestic work. You couldn't drink the water. The water had like bacteria and all sorts of stuff that wanted to kill you. So women were traditionally in charge of it. And it wasn't only till like the Middle Ages when German monks started getting involved. But at the same time, it was monks and abbeys. Women were also the first ones to ever put hops in beer. They were the first ones to learn it. And hops are preservative. So really sell beer or import or export beer, have it travel long distances until hops came along. And it was an abbess in Germany who figured that out. But where things started shifting historically is when money got involved. So once beer and alcohol became a business, that's when women got pushed out of it. And this is what kind of like blew my mind, because there's these weird questions we have about alcohol, and the answers were actually in plain sight when you like start to follow money. It's always the money. And you always find the economic interest.
Did we get to how you started writing the column yet?
No. I told you, Mark, I'm an adventure. We don't even need you, mate. If you want to go out for like a drive or something, come back. I'll let you know when I'm ready for you.
We have to pretend to ask questions.
So where I got the column, I'm 13 years old and trying to get sober at 13 and then going to therapy for it and then going to rehab at 16. And it didn't take, because I'm not normal. You don't want to be under 21 and like, who's under 21 and has a booze problem? Like, that can't be me. So I kept going on and off the wagon.
I should say it is normal.
It's very normal.
Okay.
It's extremely normal.
Okay.
But this is the 90s and I'm a teenager.
Right.
That doesn't feel normal to me. It feels alone. This is where we need to be though, because we don't talk about it. I mean, people don't talk about it, especially women don't talk about it. And there was just so much shame. There was so much like, there's something wrong with me and I'm a bad person. And if I was a good person, I'd be able to drink normally like every other person on earth. And now it's my 20s and I want to socialize. And I'm going out and then I'm getting blackout drunk because when I start drinking, I can't stop. And bad things are happening to me. And I realize I want to get sober again. So I do. And then all of a sudden all my friends disappear. And I was like, where are you guys? They're like, well, we're at the bar. So you just can't come. So now I'm home alone in my early 20s. I was like, well, I'm going to go drink again. And that just keeps happening over and over and over again. So I got sober my first time where I thought I was really getting sober. It was like 2 weeks after my oldest son was born. That was 2007. And I went out like 3 weeks after he was born. They were like, you need a night out, you know, get out. And I got wasted and I don't remember what happened. And I woke up the next day and I couldn't take care of my kid. And I was like, I'm done. That's it. I'm not doing this anymore. And I didn't do it for 5 whole years. But at this point, I was like, I like to call myself a D-list celebrity chef in New York City. I was one of the pioneers of the Brooklyn food scene, you know, and in magazines and on TV and getting invited to all these fancy events that were all sponsored by booze companies and all throwing drinks into my hand. And I kept saying no. And there were events, many events. I will point out Tasting Table. I will point out the Village Voice. I would call out ACP. I'd go to their events and on numerous occasions gone to the bar and said, hey, I don't have alcohol. And they'd say, we have nothing for you. And at a tasting table party, I was like, can I have a mixer? And they were like, well, the sponsor doesn't want us to use the mixers unless it's with their product. Mm. I was like, well, what can you get me?
Unbelievable.
And the guy goes, the guy says, I bet I can get you some water. And I watched him take a plastic pitcher and walked over to the bathroom and filled it up with bathroom water and poured it into a plastic cup for me. This was in 2010. So at that point, like I would talk to a lot of restaurateurs, like, you know, all these big people I was hanging out with. I was like, you need to have more NA options for people like me. Because when I would go to their restaurants, they would always send me a bottle of wine and I'd always have to send it back. And I'd be like, what do you have? And they're like, well, I guess you could have a Diet Coke. And I'm like, how am I not special? How is everyone else at this restaurant special? You have a way to show them that you're special and you have nothing for me. And then they'd always send out like an app or something. But I was like, this is the point. And there was so much resistance to it because you just don't make enough money on it. Like, and I would know servers were upset with me. They put down the wine list and I'd say, I'm not drinking. And they'd get a look on their face because now my check total is going to be like 50, 100 bucks less. And that affects their tip.
Even as someone who does drink, I mean, I don't drink a lot. I have like 2 drinks max before.
It's okay to drink. It is okay to drink.
No. But I will say that I see that look in servers' eyes when you don't order a second beverage or if you don't feel like drinking that night. It's not true. It's a real thing.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I understand it. I think this is something I'm not going to point like fingers and say, oh, there's good guys and bad guys here, because it is a completely understandable position when you are operating a food business where your margins are garbage. Like as somebody who owned a food business, I can tell you it's a dumb idea and it's getting dumber by the day with the way our economy is tipped. And if you're a server, like living on tips, like, yeah, I get why you're disappointed in me. But I also feel like immediately I feel unwelcome. I know when I look at your menu and I can't even find, like, even just list the sodas you have on tap. It's such a tiny, tiny little thing. But when I don't see something for me on the menu at all, or even like, I mean, even vegetarians or gluten people get a line, like, ask us, you know,
we
get nothing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, you're not welcome here. So then in my mid-30s, I switched over from food to media, and I kept pestering every editor and friend I would work with. Like, we need more NA coverage. And I was like, we should, maybe we can do a one-off here and there. And I'm like, you do wine multiple times a week. You do liquor multiple times a week. And you're talking about maybe giving me a shot to do something that doesn't have booze, you know, maybe once or twice a year. So when I was at the takeout on staff, I pushed them. I was like, I want a weekly column about non-alcoholic beverages. And we were a place that, like, you know, we were young and small and scrappy. And at the time, we didn't have a lot of oversight. So my editor was like, great, go do it. So I started like the first regular column in food media where, yeah, I would talk about like non-alcoholic spirits and wines, but, you know, I'd also talk about sodas and energy drinks or whatever else. And then when I left the takeout, they killed the column. And then I became friendly with Joe, who's the editor at the Washington Post. And I brought this up to him. And Joe has done such a remarkable job in changing the conversation around vegetarianism. And he told me, he's like, you know, this is the same thing that happened when we started introducing more vegetable-free, or vegetable-heavy recipes. You know, people in the comments were like, you need to have meat in an entree, or we don't want to be vegetarian. Like, there was, and again, this sounds crazy. This sounds crazy, which is a beautiful thing, because if this was normal 5 years ago and it sounded crazy and now it's normal, that means we made progress. That means we did something, which is dope.
Yeah. It's funny because with Mark's stuff, we're like the opposite. Like, people get mad if we include meat.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But remember when you first started? Remember when the whole like vegan before sick, and there was such a pushback. And that's like one of the things I really love getting older, is there's so many things I had to fight for in this industry, tooth and nail, in my 20s and in my early 30s, like women getting media coverage as chefs, you know, like there were so many things that I fought for, and now they're non-issues. Like, I can't even say like, this was something we need to get, because people will be like, well, what do you mean? Like, isn't it always been that way? And that's such a beautiful thing to see, that like, damn it, like we did this, like little incremental changes from so many of us. And we pushed the conversation forward a bit. And so Joe, I was like, this is what I want to do. I'm like, you have a spirits column, you have a wine column, you have a beer column. And he's like, you're right. He's like, we need to do something NA. So he, you know, gave me a chance. And every 2 months I have a column on non-alcoholic beverages. And at first we were mostly covering NA spirits. And then we're now moving into, like last year I did something on apple cider. I just did something about soda or Coke specifically. I'm going to do other sodas. Because why shouldn't we treat soda as critically as we do wine? Like, seriously, guys, wine tastes like, I mean, I was an alcoholic. So all wine just like, I wasn't a connoisseur.
Good.
Let's say it's just all good. Right. But if you're sitting there like competitively, like, oh, this tastes like pencil shavings and elderberries, and there's like glaring differences between like Coke and Pepsi. And then you're like, no, that's Cola Wars. That takes place at the supermarket. But like, why are we asking the questions? Why is no one, since the Cola Wars happened almost, like, I think they happened like 40 years ago. That was a major landmark moment in our cultural history. And no one has sat down and go, well, what are the Cola Wars anyway? Like, what is the difference, you know? And there's an amazing story there. And I touched on that in my column. But that's all I want us to do, is just treat non-alcoholic beverages normally. Oh, and then, before the column started with Joe, there was a caveat I had with Joe. And I said, I need to be able to talk about being an alcoholic myself. And this was the same at the takeout, which they let me do it, because we've had a bad reputation. If nobody's noticed that, we were unreliable. We lie, we cheat, we steal. And if we were good people, we'd be able to handle our alcohol like normal, like Jesus did. Jesus drank all the wine and he only flipped tables once. You know, there's something wrong with us inherently. And I told them, and I was like, I need to be able to make jokes about being an alcoholic, because I want whoever's reading this to feel like it's okay. Because a lot of people who are reading these articles, they might not be ready to say it, or they might not be ready to acknowledge it, or be ready to really thoroughly question their own relationship with alcohol. Right. And I was like, hey, so if I'm an alcoholic and they know that, they know it's safe for them to say it too. They know that I'm not judging them. We have to have real conversations in this country. Alcohol is everybody knows somebody who has had tragedy or misfortune or pain or just some unbelievably cruel stuff happened to them because of alcohol. It's something that touches all of us, and we're all able to have this conversation. And it's just about time, like, we did it. Like, hey, yes, this thing was normal in our society. And, you know, so was drunk driving. And so are, like, alcohol's a factor in almost half of homicides. We shouldn't be accepting this.
Stay tuned for more from Allison, Mark, and me.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, folks. We have a new sponsor and an interesting one. We all take about 20,000 breaths a day, and Americans spend about 90% of our time indoors. That indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. And indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code BITMAN, B-I-T-T-M-A-N, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to our listeners, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code BITMAN. Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that. Available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the multi-terrain select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
We were reading your non-alcoholic alcoholic seltzer piece about White Claw, non-alcoholic White Claw. Like, let's make an alcoholic seltzer. And then now let's take the alcohol out of the alcoholic seltzer. And we both found the piece so poignant.
Thank you.
You make this really good point that I had somehow never thought about and felt a little silly about that. But just how sobriety now is like a trend, and it feels like gluten or vegetarianism or veganism. And it's good, but it's also dangerous that it's turning into this trend. And do you think the trend is going to go away? Or do you think this is like a new path?
So this is what happens with literally everything, is that we have something good and then we make it dumb. And this is just the pattern that always happens. Like, we have something good, we enjoy it for a little bit, then we make it stupid, and then it becomes laughable or something we can mock, you know? Like, I mean, there's
like
a perfectly
gluten.
Good,
like gluten.
Yes, like gluten, like literally anything. And again, I've been in the food business a long time, and I used to be, you know, I had a bakery, and I started before social media, and then it became famous because of social media. And I saw, like, you know, eventually towards the end, you're like just creating things for Instagram likes, and then it becomes TikTok likes. And then the cycle gets shorter and shorter because people are now used to digesting information and absorbing content in clips of seconds, like not months, seconds. So yeah, we have to keep creating new stuff, and then it eventually gets dumb. And then people like White Claw, they come in and they're like, we need to act right away because we don't know what's going on, and we weren't prepared for this. And listen, if gluten is going to become dumb, and probiotics and veganism and mushrooms and whatever else, like, I can't stop that. But this we can't.
Everything that's good gets co-opted, and then you have to keep doing it despite the fact that it's been co-opted if it's really good.
Exactly. And what I worry about is, like, we're getting to such, like, this huge oversaturation point, and eventually all these non-alcoholic bottle shops, most of them are going to end up closing and things. And then I'm going to see a freaking headline. I know this, that I'm going to see a headline go, is the non-alcoholic movement over? And I'm stopping that shit right now. The fact that it is easier for a teenage girl now to make the decision not to drink is the most beautiful thing I can think of.
But Allison, don't you think the reigning wisdom about alcohol is going to be that the safe amount of alcohol to drink, the healthy amount of alcohol to drink, is zero or near zero, and that more and more people are going to become sober is a weird word, but either sober or semi-sober, are just going to drink much, much less. And yes, there'll be alternatives, but, you know, water is an alternative. Everything's an alternative. Yeah. Anything without alcohol is an alternative.
Where we are is a moment of realization of profound silliness. And it's not that more people are necessarily going to be sober. It's not that they're going to struggle with alcohol. It's that they're going to have an option. There was no option. Like, you know, how much of your teenage years are the countdown to 21? How much of, like, our celebrations, our bachelorette parties, our weddings, our birthdays, everything are centered around booze. So when you're growing up, you don't necessarily feel like there's an option. This is something you do when you're an adult. When you're a kid, you're not allowed to drink. And when you're an adult, you can drink and rent a car. Like, so now there's another option. There's like, oh, wait, I don't have to do this. And that's what's going to progressively change it. I know for me personally, and this is something I've gotten a lot of pushback from, is every time I talk about a non-alcoholic spirit or a beer or something, I get people piling on for me, usually people from AA. And I'm prefacing this with, I love AA. It's not for me, and it's not for everyone. It's done an incredible amount of good. And if it's done good for you, that is incredible. I love this for you. But it's not the only way to get sober. It helped. Actually, it hindered me from getting sober because I didn't like meetings. I didn't feel comfortable in them being so young. And in my head, we have this idea of AA is the only way to get sober. So if AA doesn't work for you, well, you're beyond hope. And the AA people very strongly believe you cannot have non-alcoholic beer. You cannot have non-alcoholic spirits or anything because it will drive you back to addiction.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is. And again, that's their philosophy. And if it works for them, that's amazing. Back to my story. After my kid, I had 5 years of sobriety. And then eventually, you know, I'm at these events and people keep putting drinks in my hand. And I go, and I really missed gin. I love gin. And the idea that I was never going to taste gin or I was never going to taste a Manhattan again, I hated that. Like, and I was like, you know what? I could have one and no one will notice and I'll get to enjoy it again. And then I'll go back to being sober. And then I was really good for quote unquote, really good for a few years in that I wasn't drinking when I woke up or every day. But when I would drink, I could not stop. And then after a few years, I started feeling really terrible about it. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I can't do the AA method. I'm never going to count how many days I'm sober. I'm not going to remember what day because it's not like a feat for me. It's not like I have 30 days and next I'll have 31. For me, it's like, this is who I am now. I'm somebody who doesn't drink. It needed for me, not for everyone, but for me to just be like, this is part of my identity. This is who I am. And having non-alcoholic spirits keeps me from fucking up. I want gin. I miss the taste of gin. I can have it. And I don't have that excuse anymore to cheat just this once. Or like, oh, I'll just have a little bit just to remember the taste. This is a safety net for a lot of people. And again, whatever your reasons are, I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. Like, you should be okay with yourself. And I don't want to see any derisiveness. I don't want to see anybody like, you know, saying, oh, you're just on the bandwagon or whatever. Cause I know I'm an anomaly being able to just speak very casually about what happened to me. And it's not easy. It took me a very, very long time to get here. But the way I figure it is like, if I could use this to stop people from being hurt the way I hurt, then maybe it makes it worth it.
What kinds of things do you have to think about throughout the day that a casual drinker doesn't think about?
Well, it's different for me now because it's been so many years that I feel like far more comfortable. But when people are getting together at a bar, I'll usually not go. People say like, oh, you can drink like Diet Coke, but have you ever like just tasted Diet Coke straight out of the gun? From a dive bar, like it's not good. They don't calibrate.
It tastes like chemicals.
they don't care. They don't care. For a long time, I was just declining social invitations. If people were having birthday parties or even weddings at breweries or distilleries, I was like, I can't go. Anything with an open, like it's different when you have to pay for it yourself. But if there's an open bar scenario, I'm like, I can't attend this, you know? And it feels like you're absent. It feels like you're invisible. Feels like you're missing something. And again, it feels like there's something wrong with you because everybody else got to do this and have a good time. And I love being here. I'm so happy to be here. But fuck, I shouldn't be here. You know, like, and in 5 years, no one is going to have to come on a podcast and talk about this. That's what I want.
That's great. Thank you. We have one more question for you. A real softball. And we ask everybody this, and that is, what did you have for dinner last night?
I actually cooked dinner last night.
Good for you.
There's so many nights that, like, I'm just too tired, especially, like, when food is your living, and you get home, and, like, I've got teenagers, and they'll be like, I already ate, and I was like, but I had a chicken in my fridge that was going to go bad, so I spatchcocked it, and then I'm like somebody who finds shit in the fridge and I'm just like, use this up. So I had some peach jam and I had some peach balsamic. And then what else did I put in there? A lot of black pepper. And I just shook it up and then I stuffed it under the skin and then I roasted it. And then I made actually a really good salad with avocados and toasted everything bagel seasoning. And then I had some old flour tortillas that were going to go bad. So I crisped them up the air fryer and I just threw a little bit of rice wine vinegar in there. You don't need oil if you're making an avocado salad dressing, people. It's got plenty of oil. Just throw a little vinegar on it and toss that shit up. And yeah, it was ugly and I ate it out of the mixing bowl and it was delicious. I like stuff I eat out of the mixing bowl or anything I can eat standing up while over the sink.
Same.
I don't know why.
It actually sounds like a great dinner.
It sounds like such a good dinner.
Okay, Allison, thank you. We're going to...
Thank you, Allison.
And thank you.
Yeah, we're going to steer people to your column because we love it, and we'll stay in touch, too. But you're great. You're really awesome. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me. Take care.
Take care, Allison.
Bye.
Thank you to Allison Robicelli for joining us today. You can follow her on Instagram at Allison Robicelli. That's Allison with two L's. And Robicelli with two L's, AllisonRobicelli, and on X at RobiCellis. And be sure to check out her column in the Washington Post food section. Thank you to my co-host, Mark, and to the best guy, our engineer, Davis Lloyd. And thank you for listening. We're back next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.